The earliest time in my life when I can look back and remember God working in my life was when I was 4 years old. And I think that even before that, I know that he was working in where I've been born and raised in a family where God was important and where my parents took me to church from an early age. But when I was four is when I really remember a moment of understanding this and of seeing this happen. And it was a day much like this. It was a Sunday morning, and I was back in Sunday school, and I remember being there, and the teacher said something about Jesus, and he was talking about some story of Jesus. I don't really remember which one. I don't remember if it was a miracle story, or I think it was Zacchaeus, but I could just be making that up. And so, but he started talking about how Jesus was the Savior, and how Jesus was our Savior, and I didn't know what that meant. And I was like, I don't really understand that, but it sounds important. I'll ask about it later. And so later came that night when I was actually going to bed. And I'm not really sure if this was like I think it was definitely a moment that God was using. But I don't know if this was a stall tactic before bed a little bit, like as a four-year-old, like, you know, I'm not quite ready to go to bed. Let's ask Dad a question so that I can stay up a couple minutes later. Like, or if it was really just a question that was in my heart. But so I asked my dad as he was putting me to bed that night. I said, "What does it mean for Jesus to be our Savior?" And he explained to me that God had made a way for us to be with Him. That Jesus had died and paid the penalty for all the bad things that I had done. So that I could have a relationship with God. And however he explained that, he did it in a way that me as a four-year-old, I was able to understand what Jesus had done. I said, "So what do I have to do about that?" And he talked to me about asking God for forgiveness and about how I needed to believe that Jesus died for my sins and then rose again on the third day. And so I was like, okay, I'm in. I was like, I can do that. I believe in Jesus, and I want to put my trust in him. And so ever since then, ever since that moment when I was four, I have many stories and times in my life that I can look back and remember God working and stories that have brought me to this point where I'm here in front of you guys today. Stories of God just doing incredible things and stories where, whether it was relationships that were around me that weren't doing well or whether it was car accidents or different things where God had to show up so that I could be here, and stories where God was faithful. And so as we talk today, we're going to look at Psalm 105, and I think that we're all going to be encouraged about our own stories and about the stories that we need to be sharing of what God has done in our life. So I'm going to pray and just ask that God would use this time that we're together. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, that we get to be here this morning, God. God, I thank you for the way that you've worked in our lives. I thank you for the fact that you have made us and that you have designed all of our stories, and that you have brought us from bad times and from times of struggle, and that you've just been faithful every step of the way, and that we can count on you, God. Father, we just praise your name and just ask that as we read these verses, God, that you would just bring them to life in our hearts, Lord, and that we would just live them out this week, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is Psalm 105. I'm going to read the first six verses, and that's where we're really going to camp out today, and then I'll kind of explain the rest of the chapter a little bit, and you can read more of it later. Here's what it says. It says, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob." And so as we look at these verses, it talks a lot about singing praise to him right at the beginning, giving praise and singing to him. And I think a way that this psalmist really wants us to do that is by sharing stories of God's work by sharing stories of God's work, praises him. And as you look at verses 1 and 2, it says, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name. And then I think it really tells us how to do that. It's by making known among the nations what he has done. It's by telling the stories of what he has done. It's making known his deeds. And then it says, sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. So this telling of his wonderful acts, this making known what he has done, these things are really supposed to praise God. They're really supposed to be moments where we're sharing what God has done and we're praising him. We're praising his name. We're sharing how he's worked in our life. And I think this is so important to literally do this, to literally be people who talk to each other about the way that God has worked in our life. Talk to each other about how God came through when we were at our weakest. Talk to each other about how God shaped our mess, even when we didn't think we were anything to be shaped. Talk to each other about how God was faithful each and every day, even when we didn't feel like the sun was going to come up, how even still God came through and was faithful. Or tell each other about times where God's work was blessing and God's work was amazing and he was just giving gifts to us and he was providing and you were able to see the good times as things that God has done as well and praising him for those things. And I think that as we share these stories of God working, whether in good times or bad, it's praising him. And I think another really cool thing happens when we talk about sharing stories. And this is one of those cool things where science and scripture, I think, line up here in a cool way. And that is our brains actually do something really cool when we're listening to a story. And it's called neural coupling. Okay, and so neural coupling is when a speaker like Pastor Bob is up here, you know, and he's here every week and on our screen, and he's always sharing about eating burgers at Five Guys. Am I right? Like that's pretty standard. I feel like that's a story he goes to a lot. And so as he starts to tell this story of eating a burger at Five Guys, your brain actually starts to pair with his, okay? And so as he remembers the story, the same parts of his brain light up as your brain light up as you hear the story and as you think about this time when he was eating at Five Guys. He's actually bringing you into his experience. So as he talks about digging his hand into the bag of fries, I mean, you get hungry first, but then your brain actually starts to actually feel as if you were literally digging your hand into the bag. Your brain lights up in the same way. It actually makes you feel as if you had the same experience that he had. That's what neural coupling does. So as he tells that story, your brain actually can't really tell the difference between if you just had Five Guys or if you just listened to him tell it. And that's what's so amazing about this. And so I think that neural coupling really helps us to tell stories of God working, because the first thing it does is it actually gives someone a new experience of God working. So as I told you how God worked in my life when I was 4 years old, and that was the first time that I really remember that, and how I was on my bed when I trusted in Jesus, that actually becomes an experience that you can go back to. When you think of God working, you actually now have my experience. You are shared with me in that. You're like, you know, he helped Paul, and he worked in Paul's life. And so your brain will make that the same thing. And then actually when we share stories, and this one I think we all understand, you guys have probably heard this, as stories are shared about a point, you're 7 times more likely to remember the story. You're 7 times more likely to remember the story. So if I just say God is faithful, that's awesome and that's true, but you're 7 times more likely to remember that if I pair it with a story. And so as you think about that, and as we think about trying to praise God through our stories, part of what's incredible about it is that as you praise him by sharing your story, you're actually giving somebody else that experience that you've had with God, and they get to become a part of that story, and they're likely to remember it. They're really likely to remember it because you shared it in the story. There's something else cool that happens as we share these stories of God working, and I think the second one is found in verse 3, and it's that sharing stories of God's work brings joy to his people. Sharing stories of God's work brings joy to his people. And so this is verse 3. It says this, glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. In order to see this as part of the story thing, you got to understand that right before this, at the end of verse 2, it said, tell of all his wonderful acts. And so after we tell of all his wonderful acts, it actually makes us want to just glory in God. It makes us want to rejoice. And that's the second part, in the Lord, because he has worked. So as we share God's stories with one another, we're actually bringing joy to each other. As we tell of how God has been faithful in our lives, we actually get to bring someone else joy in this. This is why I really like when you're in a circle sharing prayer requests, you know, whether it's in your small group or family or just somebody else that you're praying with. And somebody actually says not just a prayer request, but a praise, a thing they want to thank God for, a way that God has worked and answered prayer. Because as they talk about this answered prayer, it actually brings you joy because you're like, you know, God does work. So this thing that we're about to pray about, I can have confidence that God will work in that because I just heard how he answered prayer. It gives us confidence, which gives us joy. It helps us to rejoice in the Lord. It reminds the whole group of those who you're sharing with what God has done and what he is faithful to do. As you share these stories of God working, you're reminding everyone of his power, of his strength, of his goodness. And I think that this joy is something that is absolutely amazing as we rejoice in what God has done. And as an East York campus, I think that we can all look back and remember some amazing things that God has done. And so I want to tell some of those stories so that we can actually rejoice together even now as we're here this morning. And so for those of you who don't know all of these stories, I'd encourage you to come ask somebody because there's so many details to these things and they were just incredible. But just know that this all started, this place here started as a warehouse. Okay, and so God provided all of the funds for us to be able to make it into a place where we could get together and worship, a place where our kids would have classrooms back in the back to hear about God and how he's working, a place where we can just have coffee out in our lobby every week. Like, God transformed this place by providing us the funds that were so graciously given, even by a lot of you guys out here. But also, he not only provided the funds in that way, But I think this is so cool. And this, as I was on the team at the beginning of the East Shore campus, this is really what we looked to back in the day about how we knew that God was really in this, was because all of the furniture out in our lobby was actually donated. All of that amazing furniture that we have out there was donated. And even as I remember some of the details of how it came together, we had just changed our colors to the blue and the green about a year before we were starting the East Shore campus. And so the furniture just matched our colors perfectly. And then we wanted to get the carpet that would match the furniture. And so we called who had donated the furniture. We found out who supplied their carpet. And we actually were able to get a hold of the lady who had come up with the carpet and had made it happen and ordered it for them. And she like made a special permission for us to use it. And it was like 2 days before she quit and started working at another job. And so like the timing and the way that God was in every step of this campus was absolutely incredible and just amazing. Just amazing. I think we can all take joy in that together. I also love the children's ministry here at our East York campus. And I think that it's so cool the way God has worked in our children's ministry. And so we had 40 kids who came over from our West York campus and were then a part of the children's ministry. And 40 is great, and that was awesome, and we were excited about that. But in the past month, so I guess this is the month of November, there were 153 different kids that attended Sunday school on a Sunday morning and were hearing about Jesus. Man, so many kids getting to hear the word of God and grow. How amazing. Then I think of our baptisms and the stories that people have shared about either coming to know Jesus here or deciding to follow him here and proclaiming to everyone that they have decided to follow Jesus. How amazing is that? Those who have taken next steps here, whether it's getting involved in a small group or starting to serve or just taken steps on a personal level where they know that they have a place, a family here that they can rely on in times of need and of struggle. All of these stories, being a part of the team here, I get to hear a lot of them, and man, it's always amazing to rejoice in the ways that God is working, in the ways that people come alongside one another to help in times of need. All of these things are stories, and we can rejoice in the way that God has used all of them. One of my favorites is also, we're about to celebrate the story of Jesus coming. That's Christmas. And our Christmas Eve services, the way I talked about our 3 o'clock service last year and our Easter services, just the way that at those special times where we're really hammering who Jesus is and his resurrection or his birth and what that means in our lives. It's been incredible to see all the people who everyone has invited to come here and who's gotten to hear the good news of Jesus. And our doors haven't been able to contain all the people. It's been amazing. And that's God working. And I hope that brings you joy because it's amazing. But not only do we have these corporate stories, these stories of God working in our church, we also have stories that each of us have individually, because everyone has a story. Everyone has a story. And for those of you who have made that commitment to follow Jesus, I'd encourage you to think about your story even as we talk about this, because everyone has a story. This cup represents Kenny, and Kenny doesn't know Jesus. Kenny hasn't placed his faith in Jesus, and he doesn't know who Jesus is. It starts out as an empty cup. But then Kenny heard about Jesus. He heard that Jesus had died to save him, and he wanted to place his faith and trust in Jesus. And so he had an experience with God, and this picture represents God, and it's obviously just an illustration, so God never runs out, but this picture will. And so as Kenny had this experience with God, he placed his faith and trust in Jesus, and then he begins to experience God in other ways. He's experiencing God in a small group. He experiences God as he goes to church. But then Kenny loses his brother. And in that grief and in that time of hardship, Kenny actually has a different experience with God, where he has to rely on God through the loss of his sibling. And I haven't had to experience that. I haven't had to experience God in that way. And so my story is different. My story was about when I was 4 years old and how God worked in my life then. And I've had stories of how God has worked in friendships that were lost, or in times where I've had to rely on him through on trips that were really hard, or times that were amazing, and I've gotten to be a part of small groups that were growing. And my story is different than Kenny's. And there's some, you know, those children we talked about back in the back who maybe they just trusted Jesus at VBS, and their story is different too, how they've gotten to have experiences with God. And then there's some whose stories feel really broken. There's some whose stories feel like there's nothing left. There's some whose stories have a lot of pain. But even then, as they had an experience with God, and they trusted in Jesus as their Savior, they had a different experience with God than I did, or than Kenny did. And the great thing about this is that God will actually mend them, and God will use them. And in eternity, God's going to make them whole in him. And then there's those who are more mature, who've had a lot of time to experience God, who are older and have had many stories of God working in their life, of as they served him, God just being amazing, and they get to tell of those stories. So everyone has a story, and your story is unique, and you've gotten to experience God in some different ways that I haven't gotten to experience God. And so that's, as you share your story with me, I get to experience God in new ways. Because all of us are really just like these cups. We all have different stories, and those stories really make up a library of stories of God working. And that library is called the church. Stories of God opening people's eyes to see who he is. Stories of people trusting in Jesus through the toughest times and darkest nights. Stories of God coming through in incredible ways. The psalmist actually keeps going in Psalm 105, and he tells two of the stories that would have been very familiar to the nation of Israel. Two of the stories of people who God uniquely used and who we remember. They were the stories of Joseph and the story of Moses. And as he talked about these guys, what he's really doing is he's drawing the nation's attention to how God worked in these people, and he can work in us too as we trust in him. And so I'm not going to read through the whole rest of the psalm. You can do that later. But I just want to summarize a little bit of what these people went to, because if you remember, Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. And God, it actually words it, the way the psalm words it is, God actually sent him into the land of Egypt. He was thrown in prison, even though he didn't do anything wrong, until God actually raised him up to be the right hand of the king, so that God could provide for his people during a time of great famine that was coming. Because Joseph's brothers were God's people, and God had chosen their father and those 12 to be his nation during this time. So God worked to provide for a great famine, even though Joseph's story was one of some pain. But God was working in it. But then after Joseph died, all the descendants of Joseph and his brothers were made into slaves by the Egyptians. And again, the passage actually talks about how God did this, how God actually turned their hearts against the people of Israel so that they would make them into slaves. But God didn't let them stay slaves. Instead, God had a plan, and he raised up Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. He did great miracles so the Egyptians would release his people. He sent flies and gnats, hail, turned water into blood, and many other things. He did amazing stuff because he wanted to bring his people out of slavery and into the promised land that he had promised to Abraham many, many years before. He also gave them food from heaven while they were on their way. I went through and I counted, and you might count a little differently depending on what how you do this exactly, but I think this passage lists 22 different things that God does in these stories. 22 different things where he is actively involved in the stories of his people. 22 ways that he does things so that he can fulfill this promise, so that he is faithful. And I think that just like God was active in the life of Israel and in helping his people, he's active in our lives today. He is molding and shaping us to become more like Jesus. So God showed up for these people. Their story is worth sharing. That's why we read scriptures, because the stories of how God has worked are worth sharing and are amazing. And the other reason that we do it is because as we read these stories, and as we share our story, sharing stories of God's work gives us confidence to seek him. So let's read verses 4-6 again. It says this, it says, "Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. You, his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob." So now we've read through all six verses. But we got to remember what's happened in the first three so that we can know how to do this part. Because what it said at the beginning was to make known God's works. It said to make known God's works, to tell of his wonderful acts. Then the passage kept going, talked about how his people will glorify in him and rejoice as they do this. And then now it talks about the importance of seeking God. The deeds of God are what will now lead us to seeking him. As we've told of his deeds, as we've reflected on his wonderful works, that actually gives us confidence to seek him. It reminds us how he is involved in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And then we respond by wanting to be personal with him, by wanting to grow close to him. And then at the end, again, the psalmist comes back and he says again, remember the things, the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments that he pronounced, and that would be on Egypt. He's calling God's people to look at those who have gone before and how they followed God and how God worked in their lives and how we should then follow him again and continually. And so this is what sharing our stories will do. This is what sharing our stories will do. It will give us confidence to seek God as we remember what he's done. And even whether it's you sharing the story or you listening to the story, it'll give you confidence to seek God because you're seeing and hearing of ways that he's worked. And you're rejoicing in what he's done. And then you can know that you can seek his face always and that you can run to him. It gives you confidence and assurance that he's going to keep his promises. We have a God who has done amazing things in our lives. Even the fact that we know him, those of us who do in this room, is a miracle. That's the first miracle. And that's why I wanted to share from my story from when I was 4 years old, was because that amazing work that God did, while it might not sound as good in a story as a car accident that was survived, or as a trials in a hospital and in a medical field, that our initial story of how God brought us from death to life is really a miracle and should be seen that way. So whether it's thinking about that first moment when God opened your eyes and the miracle of death to life, or whether it's thinking about how he's been faithful every step of the way since then and how your story has brought you to this point, sharing stories of God's work should give us confidence to seek him. And so as we think back and how sharing God's story praises him and sharing God's stories, it brings us joy as a community. And sharing God's story gives us confidence to seek him. The bottom line is really this: it's that a story demands to be shared. And so your story should be shared. And this is something that should happen from generation to generation. Just like Joseph and Moses' stories are being shared by the psalmist much later, let us share stories of God's faithfulness, whether we're grandparents or parents or children or students. Everyone should be sharing of how God has worked in their lives. And so it's just so amazing what he's done. We should be sharing the stories of blessing, sharing the stories of him getting us through trials, sharing the stories of that moment when he first worked in our lives. And everyone's stories are different, and so it's so amazing when we get to hear of these stories, when we get to hear of how God worked in someone else's life, and we can take joy with them and the fact that he worked. I'm going to pray for us that we would live this out, that we would share our stories with those around us, that we would share how God has worked in our life, and that this would be something that fills our conversation, that we reflect on how amazing our God is together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that we get to be here in this place, God. I thank you for this opportunity that I had to share stories of your work, God. God, you are amazing, and I praise your name, and I thank you for these people here with me today, Lord, that we just want to take joy in the fact that you do big things, that you are amazing, Lord, that you do miracles, Lord, that you have brought us to this place. God, for those of you, God, I pray for those right now, Lord, who need to take this step to first have their eyes opened. If there's anyone here, Lord, who hasn't put their faith in Jesus, Lord, I pray that they would do that. If that's you, if you have not put your faith in Jesus before, if this is all new to you, if you don't know what this means, that Jesus is our Savior, and you don't get sharing these stories of God working, you should go to our Next Steps booth in the back after the service, and they would love to share with you more about who Jesus is, about how Jesus died so that you don't have to pay the penalty for your sin, how he rose again on the third day, defeating the powers of sin and of death so that you could have new life in him, and that he wants you to follow him, that he wants you to have a relationship with him where you want to seek his face always. God, for those here who have made that decision before in their life, God, I just pray that as we go from here, Lord, that they would share stories of how you've worked in their life, Lord, that they would proclaim the deeds you have done, that they would tell of your wonderful acts, Lord, that would be something that they do day after day. If you're somebody in here who wants to share your story, but you don't even know where to start, I'd again encourage you to go to our Next Steps booth. A small group would really be an amazing place to do that. I have loved getting to share those kinds of stories in my small group, and I've loved getting to hear others share stories of how God is working and has worked in their life. Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, that we get to be here with you this morning. We just ask that you'd help us to draw near to you, Lord, to take confidence in you as we remember our stories and as we listen to other people's stories of how you've worked in their life. Lord, we praise your name and we thank you that you are actively working in our life, Lord. In Jesus' name.